There was a couple of guys who were shipwrecked on a deserted desert island. And one of them was rather upbeat and jovial and probably had something to do with the fact that he was a little wealthy. The other guy wasn't, and he was a little downcast and dispirited. And he said something like this to the guy who was wealthier. He says, "What good is all that money going to do you now? We're stranded on this desert island. There's nothing for you to buy. What do you think? What's all your money going to... We're probably going to die on this desert island. Besides that, can't take your money with you when you go." And he says, "Why are you so happy?" And the guy says, "Well, I'm a member of a church, and I tithe in my church, and I know it's only a matter of time till my pastor finds me." So 2 weeks ago, we started this little series, and I asked you to think about money. That was my only goal that 2 weeks ago, was just think about it. I just want you to think about it. What is it to you? And I posed the question, is money possibly an idol? In other words, does it take precedence over our relationship with God in some way? And I gave you some reasons that Sunday to look at this and, oh, maybe I need to look at this in my life. And I gave you some reasons to identify whether or not money might be an idol for you. We looked at the words of Jesus when he asked St. Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Referring to the ability to make wealth. And we sang a song that said, "Do you love me more than anything, I love you, Jesus, more than anything." And I told you how I have a very hard time singing that song, because it forces me to look at myself and say, when you're singing that song, do you really love Jesus more than anything? And of course, the song has that little line in it, "more than worldly wealth." And so that song challenges all of us, and I felt the need to challenge us in that regard. And then last week, I kind of gave you the solution to the problem if money is an idol. And we talked about the infamous 10-10-80 plan, the plan whereby we give 10% to the Lord, first of all. We give 10% to our own interest-bearing savings account to build up a supply of savings for us, which, by the way, many people don't realize, but the Bible tells us that it's very important for us to save for our future. And so it's a 10-10-80 plan, and then we just learn to live on 80% of our income. We pay our house payment, our car payment, we buy our food, our clothing, everything else from the 80%. But we set the first 10% aside for the Lord, as the Bible would call us to, next 10% to ourselves for our own savings, and 80%. We went over that plan last week, and I told you that Paul's advice about this to the Corinthians is to think about all this, and that's why I started with, just think about it. Think about it, Paul says, and make a decision. And then begin to live with that decision that you've made, and in that way, you will become what Paul says is a joyful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must decide how you're going to respond to this challenge. And then begin to do it, because then he goes on to say, for then you will be a joyful giver. So I always encourage people, when it comes to this subject, simply make a decision and begin to live with that decision, and then you will give joyfully. And that's the way that it should be. If you missed either one of those first two messages, I highly encourage you to go on crosspoint.cc and go on to the little link to sermons, and you can listen to them and or read them at the same time online. So there you go. So with that, let me read the scripture for today, and then I have a few things to say as it concerns Thanksgiving. This is Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." What Jesus is telling his listeners then, and he's speaking to us today, is he's basically saying that there's more to this life than this life. There's more to this life than our worldly existence. He's saying there's something beyond that we need to be concerned with. He's speaking about eternity. And he's telling his listeners then and today to be concerned about eternity. Don't just focus on what's going on in this life only. He's talking about sending treasure to heaven. Paul, we're going back to 2 Corinthians. Let me context what's going on here in this part of the letter. There's a famine going on in Palestine at the time. There's a famine. The church people in Jerusalem are suffering as a result of this famine. Paul is in the city of Philippi ministering, and he writes a letter to the Corinthians from Philippi, and he is saying to them that the churches of Macedonia, and that's where Paul is, the churches of Macedonia are Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. There are three churches there. And Paul is saying that I've received an offering from these three churches. It's going to go eventually to the saints in Jerusalem. And he's encouraging the Corinthians to follow the lead of the Macedonian peoples, those three churches I just listed. He's encouraging them in this passage when he writes, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. For they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has now overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. In fact, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. And so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place." Titus had been in Corinth about 6 months earlier, had made a request to give. "And so we urge Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving." That's a key phrase in the New Testament, this ministry of giving, because that's exactly what it is. Giving is a ministry. "Since you excel in so many ways," he's talking about the Corinthian church, "in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to also excel in this gracious act of giving." I'm going to flip over to chapter 9 in the last couple of verses just to tie it together. "And as a result of your ministry of giving, they," the saints in Jerusalem, "will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all the believers. This will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace that God has given you." And he winds up this whole section with the word thanksgiving. Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for your word, and pray that this, the word of Jesus about sending treasure to heaven and the word from Paul about the ministry of giving would capture our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say thank you today to the faithful people of Cross Point Community Church who have regularly and sacrificially given to the ministry of this church. But I feel like I really can't thank you until I thank God first. That's always appropriate, isn't it? I want to thank you, but I think it's also important to thank God today for making it possible for His kingdom to come to earth as it is in heaven. You guys are all familiar with the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, honor be to your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we can thank God that he made a way, he made it possible for his kingdom up there to come down here. If I might steal a little phrase from Johnny Ortberg, to make what's up there come down here. The kingdom in heaven coming to earth. He made a way, primarily through Jesus. First of all, through Jesus. We sang about blessed assurance already today. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Fanny Crosby's writing about the kingdom up there that has come to us in Jesus. So God made a way for his kingdom to come to the earth through Jesus and then through his church. Because while Jesus was here on earth, he said, I'm going to create the church, and you guys are going to be the church. And you guys are going to be my hands and my feet on this earth. And you guys, the church, are going to be the way. You are going to be the means by which my Father's kingdom comes to earth through the church. And so we thank God for Christ and his salvation. We thank Jesus and the Lord God Almighty for the church, for the gift of the church. This is a gift. God knew that we would need a place to come to. He knew that we would need a place to gather together to seek his blessing. He knew we needed a place where we could come together as like-minded people to praise and to worship him first of all, to be challenged to grow closer and closer to Christ, to learn what it means to become more and more of a disciple of Jesus, so that when we scatter from this place, we can be the church wherever we happen to go, and we can bring God's kingdom in heaven to earth. He can use us. We thank God for the church. He knew that we would need a place. God knew that we would need a place, and the truth of the matter is, if Christian people did not have a place to gather together for the reasons I have just expounded, it's probably not very likely that any of us would be practicing the Christian faith today. Now, you might want to debate me on that, and I invite you to, but not now. But if we didn't have a place to gather on a regular basis, it's highly unlikely that we would be practicing, the key word there is practicing, the Christian faith at all. Human beings, God knew, human beings need a place to gather together. And so we thank God for Christ. We thank God for the gift of the church. We thank God for the ability to support his ministry here on earth. It goes clear back to the Old Testament, where God told the people through Moses, bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse so that my temple, well, first of all, it was the portable tabernacle that was carried around in the desert after the Exodus. But once they settled into the promised land and Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem, it's bring my tithes into the storehouse so that the ministry of the temple could be supported. And then the New Testament just picks it up and runs from there and saying, bring all the tithes and the offerings into the church so that the church can be supported, because God says, the church is my way of bringing my kingdom to the earth, and the church needs your support. So that's what the tithes and offerings are about. God gave us a chance to support his ministry through the ministry of giving. And so I want to thank you with all that background. I want to thank you for seriously considering what you were going to do, and perhaps in some cases, what you are going to do in the future to support the ministry of Crosspoint Community Church. Because if you folks were regularly and sacrificially giving to this ministry, we would not be able to accomplish all that you and God has enabled us to accomplish here and in our community. We would not be able to pay the church's mortgage, if I can be so practical. That kind of reminds me, there's always a practical payoff to every spiritual discipline. You ever think about that? God tells us to do all these things in our discipleship, And there's always a practical payoff. This is just the way that God operates. I mean, you know, he tells us, you know, you probably ought to pray, because you're going to have joy and peace into your life. The more you pray, the more joyful and peaceful you'll pray. But at the same time, there'll be a practical payoff, because the people for whom you pray for are going to be blessed. Who was it that you told me? Heidi just told. Do you remember the email I sent out last week at Heidi's request to pray for a friend of hers whose son got his hand in a wood chipper? Yeah. And Heidi came up to me the other day, and well, I don't want, you want to say, what he?
Basically, at the emergency room, they gave the very grim news about the hand, and when they got to see the surgeon said there are many broken bones, but they're actually in line, and so they found they did not need to do surgery. They feel that it will heal on its own. It's just a matter of keeping the wound clean to avoid infection. But she said it was only because of prayer, she believes, that she had so many people praying that they had such good news, because the ER gave them very grim news. And overnight, they had what she called a miracle. So.
And all you folks were invited to join in that prayer for this person whom we don't even know. We know Heidi. And when we heard that it was a friend of Heidi's, well, if it's a friend of Heidi's, she's good enough for us, so. But what I'm getting at is that if you think in these terms, there's always a practical payoff for God's spiritual disciplines. One of the spiritual disciplines that Christians are to engage in is prayer. It helps us, but it helps other people too. And it's like that with all the spiritual disciplines. One of the spiritual disciplines is reading the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us joy and peace, but it also enables us to share that same Word with other people more effectively. There's always a practical payoff, you see. There's always a practical payoff for every spiritual discipline. And one of the spiritual disciplines is giving. And the practical payoff for the spiritual discipline of giving is that God's church can be supported. And I want to thank you so much for making decisions that reflect God's call upon your life to support this place, because as I was saying before I so rudely interrupted myself, that that if you folks didn't give, we couldn't carry on this ministry, we couldn't pay the electric bill, we couldn't pay the mortgage, you couldn't pay a full-time pastor, an administrative assistant, we wouldn't be able to do all the things we're doing in our community that we are enabled by God's grace and your generosity to do, but because you do, we are. And I'm here to thank you today for all the ways that you give to this church, because you're making it everything that it is. When we regularly and sacrificially participate in the ministry of giving, we are enabled to do what we can to bring God's kingdom to earth the way it already is in heaven. That's what we're to be about. Now, I've got a couple people to come forward who kind of want to say, don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth, but they're here. I kind of told them to say thank you for maybe various ways that God, through His church, has brought blessing to their lives. And I want to start with Maria.
Things I'm thankful for is the fact that I was able to, through a friend, find this church. She goes to a different one, but she knew about the meals on the every month, and she brought us here right after we moved. That was a big move, and that was scary. We'll go from a big city to a small town, and if you feel like you've always been part of the small town, it's a big, scary thing.
So Maria moved here from Columbus, wasn't it? You were living in a great city while you were down there in Columbus. You had to move away from heaven, didn't you? She moved up here from Columbus with her family, and she said that if you couldn't hear her, somebody, some friend of hers, told her about our church, and she enjoyed coming to our church, and she mentioned the community meal that we have every month, and Maria and her mom and her brother and Darius always come and share food with us, and we're grateful for that, and so we thank you, Maria, and I thank you for enabling us to have a community meal on the last Friday of every month so that we could receive the blessing of food. Thank you, Maria. Lynn, would you like to come forward, please? Or you could, if you're more comfortable, you can just stand where you're at, or however you want to do. Y'all know Lynn Methley?
Probably. Thanks.
Her and Phil and their friend Emily. You're coming right to the pulpit.
Yeah.
You go, girl. Don't lean too hard on it. It's a little shaky.
I know. Phil and I wanted to thank you for accepting us so well. We've been looking for a long time for a place where we would feel comfortable. And that certainly is the feeling we get here. We feel very welcome. Of course, I know a lot of you from my business as well. And I just wanted to, for those of you who don't know, I sell real estate. So that was a great lesson for the children this morning. I'm glad they're all thankful for their homes. Keep that in mind. But I wanted to thank, we first came here, and I do my paperwork late at night, so I come by here on my way home all the time, and I see all the community things that are going on, and that's very important to me. And I have always wondered, and I know many of you, and Dottie is a client of mine from 30 years ago when I started doing this, and she invited 28 people to come to church with her one Sunday. Well, I couldn't come back, but she put me on a group message, and every time one of those 28 people answered each other about everything all week long, I couldn't even get to my business goals. I had to beg her to take me off there, and she did, and we came down, and she was absolutely right. This really, really suits us. We personally feel that our church and our community can do a better job with a good pastor and a strong pastor to meeting the needs of our community, more so than our government in Washington. A good pastor, a good church, we're right on top of where our help is needed, what people need, and we can do that through a good, strong community church. All the programs here that go on are very, very important to us. And I do also feel, I remember as I go through the day in my business, there are many, many things to be thankful for. So I really enjoyed the last 2 weeks in talking about giving and giving what you can. As I go through the day, I'm usually pretty good at problem solving. But I come up against things that I don't have an answer for. And my assistants say to me, when things get really bad, you get so quiet. And that's because I'm praying, because I'm out of ideas. And I do believe that God answers every single prayer. Sometimes we don't like the answer, but he answers every single prayer. So I remember all day long, from first thing in the morning when I get up and I see it's a beautiful day and I don't have to work in the rain all day, I remember to say thank you. I say thank you all day long. And I think that tithing is another way for us to say thank you. If that comes from your heart, it actually does as much, if not more, for you than it does for the receiver. Gift giving, tithing, one way or another, is something that benefits you as well. So we all have different levels of what we can afford to do. It has to be the amount that you can cheerfully do that with. But I want you to think about the fact, and especially for me, every single time my phone rings, it's a blessing from God. I remember that all day long. My quality of life, everything I have, everything we are, that Phil and I have worked for together, is because God has blessed us. And you know, I'm working on the Ten Commandments personally all the time. I can't seem to hit all 10 in the same day at any given time. But that is something I think about all the time. So I am very, very thankful that God sends me things. Sometimes he sends me some really hard problems from people who are far away. My first question is, why in the world did you send this to me? And the answer is, did you have a good week last week? Like, what did you think that was about? You know, so we have an ongoing communication as far as that goes. But I really do believe in tithing, and I also believe that you will have times when you can do more, and sometimes you can do less, and God knows. But it has to be from your heart, and you have to really understand the value of it for you as well. So that's my feeling on that. You know, I know some of you support that, some don't. I hope you'll consider my thoughts on that, and maybe that'll make a difference for you too. But this is why we're here, and we want to thank you all once again. This is the most welcome place we've ever felt, and I'd like to see this church grow and the ministry grow as well. That's very, very important to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Lynn. Anybody want to jump in on anything that Lynn said?
Thank you.
I just felt that when me and my wife decided to die, like 5 or 6 years ago, it was not long after we made that decision, she got a promotion and a letting passed in the diner, which opened up a lot of overtime for me, which changed my retirement. I mean, we were blessed after we decided to start tithing.
Thank you for that, Jim. Thank you for that. What does Malachi say? Bring all the tithe into the storehouse and test me in this if I don't pour out for you an abundant blessing. There is blessing to that. Thank you. Annie Dean has something she'd like to say today as a way of expressing gratefulness for the church and one aspect of our ministry together. And Gail, I'm sorry. Annie and Gail, they are a team.
Let's go, Annie. Hey. Go, Gail. I really wanted to talk a little bit about our care ministry. And many of you are aware of, we started the ministry a couple of years ago, and under that umbrella of the care ministry, the three we're involved with is the grief ministry, the KLI group I partner with the divorce for adult ministry, and the divorce care for the children's ministry that Karen Tate is my partner with that. And I'm just going to share with you a little bit some of our feelings and thoughts about that. How your gift and this church and everything that's happening is enabling us to be a part of this ministry and to make this ministry happen. What would you like to
share with you? I just want to say that my mom passed away almost 2 years ago. And I took the course with Annie. The following summer, and I've gone through this teaching, and it has really helped me. And I appreciate everything that people have done to have allowed us to have it.
So I want to share with you, we are very mindful of the people who participate in these ministries because we want to be protective of their privacy, and we want to be mindful of people also who may be considering to be a part of these ministries. They are wonderful. What it is an opportunity for us as a church to live out our mission statement, our sharing God's grace with our community. It enables us to do that, and it enables us to serve God this way, and it enables people who are hurting in some of the most difficult situations to be able to find a connection to God and to be able to find some help. And it is God's work that is happening. And we are just real grateful to share with you that in the grief ministry, that it is growing, and this is like an enormous amount of numbers, but we value one person who participates in these ministries. If that's all we have, we're okay with that. But the numbers grow and they change, and we're just real, we want to share with you that we're even grateful that as word is getting out, that even when we did our last survive the holiday one-day seminar, that for the first time that there were 5 people who walked through the doors of this church for the very first time. And we've had other people in ministry walk through the doors for the first time also. And these are people who are hurting, and God has led them here and has planted the seed. And we are blessed that we were able to be able to help them. And it is God who's helping them. He's just allowing us that privilege and opportunity to be a part of. But it wouldn't happen if it wasn't for all of you in every way that you give. First and foremost, the most important thing that you have done and can continue to do is to be prayerful for all the care ministries. The And this includes Chuck's ministry with the recovery ministry also, and future ministries like the Stevens ministry that's coming on board and stuff. But it's these wonderful opportunities where we have, where we are stepping outside of our church and we are helping people who are in need. God is helping us, but He's allowing us the privilege and opportunity to be a part of it. If we didn't have a building to make it happen, we wouldn't have a place in a residence where we could say, please come. And we didn't have people praying for us and holding us up in prayer, because you can just imagine that this can be a very emotional ministry. And we need to have emotional support. So to know that you guys are praying for us and holding us up and helping us to be strengthened and encouraged in this ministry is huge. So you give of yourself and selfishly to do that. When you give of your finances and of all of your gifts, because I know that there's a lot of you who will give in ways when you come in here. There's so many different things that happen on the ground and in the building and in the ministry. It is so unselfish of you to be giving and serving God that way, that your efforts are not wasted. We are living out our ministry, and we are reaching out to people. And we even have people come from another county to help and receive His help. So we're grateful for that. So we wanted you to know, you're not always a witness to all the wonderful things that are happening in the lives of hurting people, and you're not always going to be able to see that, but because we're there, and it's such a blessing for us. And I know that I can speak on behalf of Karen and Brad and April Winters, who are safekeep keepers for the Children's Divorce Ministry, and Miguel and I, and everybody else who's been involved with it, that we thank you for entrusting us with these roles and for enabling us with all of your gifts to be able to share God's grace with our community.
Thank you, Ann.
I want to tell everybody a little story. I brought my mom here. I was raised a Christian all my life. I'm deep into it. I had a bad year. My brother died at 56. He fell off the cliff. We weren't very close when my mom came back. This is the way God works. He strengthened me enough to live with and hold me up as His children do that. Brother fell over at 66. He helped me with my mother when she came back. She was 86. We got to have a birthday with her. I hadn't seen her in 7 years of being in Arizona. Brought her to the church. Very, very, very religious. She was a person that everywhere she went, she had a smile. All my life I've seen people abuse her, people mistreat her, people take from her. And no matter what, that woman had a smile on her face and went to church and sang and praised God. And she is life for me. And I wanted to be a wife for you guys. My brother died. We had some problems. I hadn't seen my brother in years because of the way my dad died and the way he did things. So I didn't associate with my brother. When mom came back, started associating with my brother. My brother jumped in, started helping me with mom's finances, how to take care of her, what to do. She had dementia. She had her toes taken off from sugar, surgeries, doctors. My brother and I got like this. Before he died, I had peace with him. That's God. I love him so much, is all I have. They're all gone now, but I have. And I'm a witness to God the rest of my life before I die. He's here. He answers prayers. Because I prayed for my mother to see her again. In fact, I got to see him. I got to be with my brother. And I want you guys to know that he's there. And Buddy Randy right here, he's into it. God bless Randy and Dale. Because they're the ones that died for the church. He's in all of us. He answers our prayers. He's given me my dream and more. Please, go to God and all you trust in heart. Because that's the way He gives back to you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Linda, for that testimony about the Lord present in your life. Anybody else want to express any thanksgiving for the church? I could go on and on. You saw me take off my watch a minute ago, didn't you? You know what that means when a preacher takes off his watch? Absolutely nothing. I need to try to pull all this together. I thank you. I thank you for regularly giving and sacrificially giving to the ministry of Crosspoint. It enables us to become all that we are and all that God is calling us to be. But I do want to give you a reminder. I do want to say this, that giving is not primarily God's way of raising funds. I told you it was the practical payoff. But giving, the ministry of giving, is not primarily God's way of raising funds, but rather it's God's way of raising His children. Because when it comes down to a bottom line, we're talking about discipleship here. And I just need to remind you of that most important verse that Paul wrote in Corinthians. Why did those Macedonian churches give so generously when they were in such sad shape financially? Because he says they first gave themselves to the Lord. I was reading about a missionary who was preaching over Chad, Africa. Before he took the offering, he prayed that the people in the congregation would realize that the expression of the offering they were going to give was an expression of their faith and their discipleship and their love for the Lord. There happened to be a new person in that church that day, brand new, who didn't come with a penny in their pocket because they didn't have a penny to their name. Here comes the offering plate along. And it comes to her, and she looks at it, this missionary said, for about 30 seconds. And he then got, you know, his attention was drawn to her. And after about a minute, she stood up where she was. She put the offering plate on the floor, and she stepped with her one foot would fit in that offering plate. One foot would fit in it only. And she stepped into that offering plate and raised her other foot up and kind of balanced herself there, as an act of pure devotion, that she didn't have any money to put in the plate that day, but she was symbolizing she was giving herself to the Lord that day as a result of being in that church. And that's what Paul says, that giving yourself to the Lord precedes participating in the ministry of giving the way the Lord wants us to. In fact, if you'd be so kind not to stone me when I say this, this is the truth, though. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. And He knows that when He gets you, our hearts and everything that we are, that money and all those other things in our life will take their rightful place. God isn't so interested in our money. He wants us. He wants us. So there was this guy, John. He was sitting there. The offering plate was passed. He put three $100 bills in the offering plate. And as he handed it to the next person, he said, "I'll see you in heaven," to that money. And the person on the other side, well, old John must be off of his rocker now to think he's going to see that money in heaven someday. He might go to heaven, but surely he's not going to see those three $100 bills. John must be off. Doesn't John know you can't take it with you when you go? About a month later, John died in his sleep and he went to heaven. And the first person that met him was somebody he'd never met before, who came up to him and shook his hand and said, "I want to thank you, John. I want to thank you for the church that you belong to. Because one night when I was especially down, I was thinking about taking my own life. I was walking down the street and I saw the light coming from the windows of that church that you used to go to when you were on earth. And something about that drew me over there. I went inside. There were these people studying the Bible. They welcomed me to come into the Bible study. They ended up leading me to the Lord before I died. Thank you, John." Wasn't too long, another stranger came up to him and says, "John, I want to thank you. I met your preacher down at the local saloon about 3 weeks before I died, and he showed me how to get to Jesus." Wasn't too long for somebody else came along and said, "John, I want to thank you. It was an elderly fellow and his wife. I want to thank you, John. You belong to a church that has a community meal, and I was able to go down there and get some food. And somebody else came along and said, John, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for supporting that church that you belonged to when you were down there, because you helped me get my life straightened out through a recovery ministry. You put me back on track and you saved me from going completely astray, and here I'm in heaven, and I want to thank you. And John kept meeting all these people that he didn't expect to see. He thought he was going to see his mom and dad first. Here's all these strange people come up to John and said, I want to thank you, John. I want to thank you for being a part of a church and supporting that church. Wasn't too long before then John met an angel. John said to the angel, man, I feel sorry for you. The angel says, why do you feel sorry for me? He says, because you not only get to experience saving grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus, but you don't get to experience the joy of giving that will make a kingdom impact for all eternity. Who says you can't take it with you when you go? I think somebody called it treasure in heaven. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy for us, in that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. We thank you for that, primarily. We thank you for the gift of the church. I thank you for each person that you bring here every Sunday. I thank you for the testimonies that were shared today. We thank you for the gifts that are given that sustained this ministry. We thank you for the people who have considered this very carefully and made a heartfelt decision about how they wanted to honor you in this way, and who followed through with it sacrificially and regularly. Where would we be without these folks, Lord? We'd be hurting. And so we thank you for them and pray that you'd continue to bless us in this way, that we might continue to carry on your ministry on this earth in the area of Chippewa Lake as it is in heaven already. Thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.